Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever stopped to think how major decisions, ones really meant to bring people together, can sometimes end up causing these huge lasting splits?
It happens more often than you think, right?
Yeah. And today, we're diving deep into one of those moments, a really pivotal one in early Christian history. Session 6 of the Council of Chalcedon, that was October 25, 451 CE.
A long time ago, but with effects still felt today.
Exactly. And we're asking, how did this council, which was supposed to unify Christians, how did it lead to a fracture that's lasted centuries?
Well, our mission today really is to look closely at the actual minutes from that session.
The forensic analysis, so to speak.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And what they seem to show is, well, it wasn't just theology being debated. You see patterns, procedural issues, maybe,
Irregularities.
irregularities, doctrines being pushed, maybe some systemic biases.
Okay.
And these factors, they really seem to be key in understanding why the Oriental Orthodox churches ultimately rejected the council. It suggests maybe that imperial politics, Roman agendas, played a bigger role than, open theological discussion.
Right. So let's imagine we're there, October 25th, 451. What's the big announcement? What kicks things off in session 6?
The main event, the core of it, was the solemn promulgation, the big reveal of the definition of the faith.
Okay.
And this statement affirmed Christ as one in two natures. Foundational for many, yes.
Right.
But for others, a huge departure, a problem.
And right at this key moment, this defining declaration, there's a major player missing. Dioscorus of Alexandria. He's not there.
Conspicuously absent, yes. And that absence is critical.
Why wasn't he there? He was central to the whole debate about Christ's nature, wasn't he?
Absolutely central. But he'd already been deposed in an earlier session. Now, importantly, it was for canonical violations.
Meaning church rules, procedures?
Exactly. Not explicitly for heresy, not at that specific point. Anyway, it was about violations of church law.
But his absence feels even more significant because the definition they did adopt Christ, acknowledged in two natures, was the very thing he opposed.
Directly contradicted his view. His preferred formula was something like, "The two I do not receive." He stressed one incarnate nature of Christ.
One unified nature after the incarnation.
Yes, whereas the council emphasized two distinct natures, divine and human, coexisting.
So, him not being there when his main point of contention is definitively rejected, well, you can see how that looks like an injustice.
It absolutely fueled that perception. It makes you question the whole idea of consensus at the council, doesn't it?
Did everyone really agree, or was it pushed through?
Well, there's evidence suggesting some outcomes were, let's say, encouraged. Prescripted, perhaps.
How so?
The imperial judges, they were present, and they subtly guided the bishops. They reminded them, stating they believed, according to the ecthesis of the three, basically pointing to earlier councils.
Like saying, remember the established guidelines, wink, wink, a subtle pressure to conform.
Pretty much. And then you have these rapid, seemingly unanimous shouts from the bishops. This is the Orthodox faith. This we all believe.
Creates a powerful image of unity, doesn't it? Almost overwhelming.
It really does. And it can easily stifle anyone thinking of it dissenting, especially with the emperor's representatives watching.
Plus, this definition, it wasn't even debated by everyone in session 6, was it?
No, that's another key point. It was drafted by a smaller committee back in session five. Session six was more about the presentation and acceptance.
So, less deliberation, more
You're
ratification.
Seems that way. And maybe the most striking contradiction, the real paradox, is something the bishops themselves declared in that session.
What was that?
They said, "Any other setting forth no one makes, neither will we attempt it, to set forth anything new." A commitment to tradition, right?
Okay, sounds clear enough. No new doctrines.
Except the terminology in two natures, that was arguably a novel dogmatic statement. It wasn't explicitly laid out like that in the earlier creeds they claimed to uphold.
Ah, so they're saying nothing new here while introducing something new.
Exactly, a paradox, claiming consistency while innovating, linguistically at least.
And what was the impact of that specific contradiction?
It became a massive point of rejection for the Oriental Orthodox. It highlighted for them how theological consistency seemed less important than perhaps political expediency or achieving a particular outcome favored by Rome and the emperor.
Presenting something new as ancient, that's problematic if you value tradition above all.
Deeply problematic for many.
So this deep dive into just one session, session 6 of Chalcedon, it really shows how things like, well, political will, asserting authority, how they can dramatically shape theological results.
Absolutely. The perceived procedural issues, the strong imperial influence, that sense of unfairness around Dioscorus.
It all combined to make the council's decisions seem compromised to a significant group.
Leading to a schism, a division in the church that, incredibly, still exists today.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? Thinking about high-stakes situations, historical or even today, how often does what looks like consensus actually hide, you know, power plays or procedural shortcuts? Something definitely worth thinking about.